Okay.
Yeah, so let's begin with Romans chapter 1, and we'll read verse 15, 16, and 17. はい。まあ、今日はローマ1章15から10、7節まで読みます。まず。So, verse 15. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Okay. There's a lot in the book of Romans. In the first part that we started on this little series, we looked at Paul, the bondservant, Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, and we looked at him that he didn't explain and describe himself as a great apostle. He didn't talk about himself as a wonderful teacher. He talked about himself as a servant. And then, in the next chapter, we talked about his longing to visit Rome and how he really wanted to go to Rome. He really had a vision that God had given to him, and that involved passing through Rome and going on to, as it seems, Spain at that time. But we find that God took over that vision, and of course the vision came from God, but God started to reveal to him more and more about how he was actually going to be bound and go to Rome, not on his way to Spain, but as a prisoner. We don't know exactly what happened to him after he left Rome. And it's interesting that the book of Acts finishes with Paul in Rome, and then the next book, the book of Romans, is the letter of Paul to Rome. So after that, what happened to him, we don't know. And we looked at the calling of God in our life, how God can give us a basic idea of the sort of thing that we're called to do, but we have to let God be the one to lead us through those steps. Okay, but then he gets on here to the main part of his book. The book of Romans is about the gospel. It's a book that was written to Christians, both Gentiles and Jews, but the focus is the gospel. He says in verse 15, as much as is in me, or I'm eager in this translation, so eager to come to you at Rome and to share, preach the gospel to you. And so he's talking about preaching the gospel to believers in Rome. But the book of Romans is not addressed to unbelievers, it's addressed to Christians. And that shows that we also, as believers, we have to understand the gospel too. We shouldn't see gospel messages as simply, you know, just basic stuff that we don't need to really pay attention to. The gospel is absolutely foundational to us, and it's something that we need to not only know and understand, but we have to be reminded of it, and we have to study it all throughout our life. Why is that? Because in verse 16 it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation. When it talks about the gospel is the power of God to salvation, when it talks about salvation, salvation is past, present, and future. We are saved. It says in Ephesians that we have been saved. We are saved. But it says that we're being saved. And then, of course, ultimately, we're going to be saved. So when we're talking about our salvation here, we have been saved, we're being saved, and we are saved. And in each case, the gospel is the power of God to salvation. So it's not just a matter that, well, we're already saved, so we don't need to hear the gospel anymore. We are saved by the gospel, but we're also being saved by the gospel, and we're going to be saved by the gospel. So understanding the gospel is really foundational to us, whether we're a new Christian, or whether we've been a Christian for a long time, or whether we're at the end of our Christian life. The gospel still has a lot to teach us, and it still forms God's character within us. So This is important for us to understand. We need to understand the gospel, and that's why we've decided at this point to start going through the book of Romans. The first couple of messages were just an introduction, but from this point on, we're going to start looking at the gospel itself. Okay, so I'll translate that, and then we'll continue on. Okay. はい、すみません。そして、福音のことを、始めます。はい。そして、ローマ一書、15から17。はい、15節から。ですから、私を、としては、ローマにいるあなた方にも、ぜひ、福音を伝えたいのです。私は福音の恥とは思いません。福音はユダヤ人をはじめ、ギリシャ人にも、信じるすべての人にとって、救いを得させる神の力です。なぜなら、福音のうちに神の義が掲示されていて、その義は信仰に始まり、信仰に進ませるからです。義人は信仰によって生きると書いてある通りです。OK。まずは、最初、ここ、ローマを学ぶときに、最初はローマ、に、行く、パオルのことを、学びました。パオルは、自分のことを、しもべとして、紹介しました。素晴らしい先生とか、哲学者ではなくて、使徒ではなくて、もう、しもべ。キリストのしもべ。で、その次に、パオルの飯を学びました。パオルは、ローマに行きたかったけど、彼の最初に考えたことは、もう、今、アジアにいるけど、その後で、エルサレムにちょっと行ってみて、で、その後で、スペインに向かって行きますけど、途中でローマに寄って、ちょっと交わりをして、進みます。そういう、ことを考えていたけど、でも全然そういう状態にならなかった。実は、パウロはエルサレムにいるときに逮捕されて、そして、囚われ人として、ローマに行かされた。で、彼は、ローマにいて、長い間に、牢の中に入れられていた。牢にいることだけではなく、ではなくて、家の中に閉じ込められた状態ですけど、でも神様はそういう状態によっていろんな人をパオルに送りました。でパオルはそういう立場からロームに福音を伝えることになりました。神様はその弱い者を通して働きます。はい。そしてそれからローマ書は福音を伝える書です。ですけど、今日は最初のポイント、述べたいとポイントは、ローマにいる人たちは、今、手紙の、読む人たちは、もうすでにクリスチャンです。この15節には、ですから私としては、ローマにいるあなた方にも、ぜひ福音を伝えたいのです。と書いています。しかし、この人たちはもうユダヤ人でも、ギリシャ人でも、ローマ人でも、もうすでに救われている人たちでした。ので、こんばんは。その人たちは福音を、聞く必要がありました。で、ローマ書によって福音を完全に説明しました。だから、福音のメッセージは、多くのクリスチャンも、考えていることですけど、基本の基本で別に聞かなくてもいいと思っているかもしれない。私も、そういうふうに考えたことが たくさんあります。ああ、また福音のメッセージか。これは別にいいんじゃないかと、もっと深いことを学びたいとか、もっと、重要なことを聞きたい。そういう、気持ちがたまに現れますけど、しかし、そうではなくて、私たちは新しいクリスチャンでも、未信者でも、何年もクリスチャンになった人でも、天に召される前のクリスチャンであっても、福音を聞く必要があります。なぜかというと、16節に書かれている、 私は福音を恥とは思いません。福音はユダヤ人をはじめ、ギリシャ人にも信じるすべての人にとって救いを得させる神の力です。信じる人には、これは神様の力、救いへの力。未信者ではなくて、信じている人です。ので、信じている人には、救われるように福音のメッセージを常に受け入れなければならない。救いというものは、聖書の中で、いろいろな場面に出てきますけど、エフェソには、私たちは救われている。そして、新約聖書コリントに、私たちは、救われるところです。そしてまた、私たちは救われるでしょう。そういう、場面が、何度も何度も、出てきますので、私たちは、どういうふうに救われている、どういうふうに救われた、そして、未来的に、どういうふうに救われることは全部福音を信じることによってそうなりますので、今こそ私たちは福音を学ぶ必要が、あります。いつも。だから簡単とか基本とか、だからこそ私たちは学ばなければならないというわけです。はい。そして今日から、いくつかの時に福音の、ことを教えます。実はローマ書は、もう何よりも深い本です。聖書の中で、よく勉強されている、本です。ですから、福音を説明することだけでも、本当に深いことがいっぱい出てきますので、私たちも福音をよく学びましょう。はい。Alright, so let's move on. The first thing that he talks about here in introducing the gospel is verse 16. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. All right, but he begins by saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel. So today, let's just look at that point. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. First of all, remember, he's preaching to Christians. He's not preaching to non-Christians. So he's dealing first and foremost with an issue that comes up in our lives. Why would we be ashamed of the gospel? Why would anyone be ashamed of the gospel? The gospel is the good news. Why would you be ashamed of good news? Why would you be ashamed of Jesus coming to save us? Why would you be ashamed of being forgiven? Why would you be ashamed of being given eternal life? It doesn't make sense, but it is a reality that many, many of us, and all of us, I suppose, all of us are ashamed from time to time of the gospel. We're ashamed to talk about the gospel in front of people. We're ashamed even sometimes that people find out that we believe the gospel. We're ashamed to speak it out amongst unbelievers. We're ashamed to be seen even among Christians, we're ashamed to live out the gospel among them. Why would anyone be ashamed of the gospel? So that's a good question. But let's look at it another way. All of us have been ashamed. All of us perhaps still face this trouble of being embarrassed or ashamed when it comes to our faith being put under the spotlight. So tonight I just want to look at some of the reasons why we get ashamed and some of the ways in which we can deal with this. Okay. So first of all, what are some of the reasons that we are ashamed of the gospel? Look with me at John 12. John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43. I'll just pick out a few reasons that people were ashamed of Jesus in the New Testament. John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43. It says, Yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved human praise more than praise from God. think among all the possible reasons that there are that we would be ashamed of the gospel, that would have to be the biggest one, because we love the praise of people more than the praise of God. Why would we love the praise of people more than the praise of God? Well, first of all, the fact that we're looking at people, we're listening to people, we're depending on people, we're drawing comfort from their approval of us. All of those things are the reason that we are seeking their praise. On the other hand, if we're not doing that with God, then the problem is that we're not looking to God. We're not listening to God. We're not hearing His words to us, His praise of us, or perhaps His rebuke of us. And we're not relying upon Him and drawing strength from His approval of us. Think about that. The reason, therefore, that we are, the number one reason that we're ashamed of the gospel is that our eyes are so fixed upon the people around us rather than on God. If we were concentrating on God, if we were thinking every day about how God is in control of this world, how God is dealing in my life through this issue and that issue, if I were thinking how wonderful God's design is in the universe, or how amazing God's design is in keeping things working, for example, then I would be looking to God for where I'm going. I'd be looking for God for trust. If I thought about how amazing it is that God accepts me, even though I'm a sinner, but that even before I knew Him, He already had died for me. Even before I loved Him, He loved me. And He had accepted me knowing my entire life from beginning to end. If I thought about that, I would draw my strength from Him. But as it is, because I'm not thinking about that, I'm not reading the Word of God, I'm not praying, I'm not taking the time to think and really just consider what God is speaking to me, therefore I do what's so much easier, and that is just to look at the people around me. And the people around you praise you for all the different reasons. They'll praise you for the way you look. They'll praise you for what you can do. They'll praise you for how smart you are. They'll praise you for how funny you are. They'll praise you for being strong. They'll praise you for getting out of trouble, or even getting into trouble. The people of this world will praise you for all of the wrong reasons, but our biggest problem is our eyes are in the wrong spot. So what can we do to not be ashamed of the gospel? First of all, the first thing is we can fill our mind with God. We can fill our heart with God, with God's word. Let's look at Psalm 71. Psalm 71, verse 15 and 16. Psalm 71, 15 and 16. Says here, my mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I know not how to relate them all. There's so many things I could talk about. I don't know how I could talk about them all. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. Okay, so here is a person who has his mind full of God. He's always thinking about how wonderful God is. All day long, he's reminding himself of God's acts. You can do that. That's what Paul says when he says, I pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean he's on his knees all day. It means as he's going through the day, he's talking to God continually. As he sees this person, as he sees a situation, for example, you look at the news or the G20 summit or something like that, you can see what God is doing in the world at this moment. Who said that at the end of time, Persia would become a big trouble in the Middle East? It was God who said that. Notice that it's not Morocco that's causing all the trouble in the world at the moment. It's not It's not even Egypt that's causing all the trouble in the world at the moment. It's Persia, the very country that is so emphasized in Scripture, and the one that it says talks about in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, that is that they will join with Gog, which we assume to be Russia, but at least we know Persia is definitely Persia, Iran. And it talks about it will come and become a big trouble in the world, and it's going to be one of the great players in the last times and end times battle. And now we can see those very things happening on the news today and tomorrow and yesterday. So we can see how amazing God is. Why would we be ashamed of God who is so great, who has told us the future? On the other hand, you can see God working in your own life. Sometimes you get into trouble and you know God did that. That's so clear. That's so obvious. You know, I can see God's hand in that so clearly. Sometimes that happens to me. Often it happens to me on a Monday, because usually what you preach on a Sunday, then God brings it into your life on the Monday and tests you whether you really believe what you just said. And that sort of thing happens. And when it happens, you just sit there going, wow, that's amazing. God is so real, and he's really dealing with me personally here. He's speaking to me about the things that I talked about yesterday. all of these things happen. You continually fill your mind with God. But on the other hand, if I'm concerned about what other people think, then I'm going to end up being ashamed of the gospel, because when those people turn around and belittle the gospel or think it's not, you know, of any value, then I'm going to feel that guilt and that shame and embarrassment come up, and that's from the same place that all of those other things are that come into our life. It's from the devil. It's from hell. Our heart is like a bottomless pit full of every evil thing, and that embarrassment about the gospel is just one of those things that comes up from the devil. Comes from hell. And it comes in, and if we allow that to take root, then it will cause us to be ashamed. That's the first and main reason that people are ashamed of the gospel. So we can fill our minds with God's goodness. Okay. そして、最初の、理由を出します。なんで私たちは、最初の理由というか、まだ始まってないか。ごめんなさい。今日は16節から始まります。ローマ1章16節。そして16節は、パウロは福音を述べ伝える時に、一番最初に言ったことは、私は福音の恥とは思いません。福音はユダヤ人のはじめギリシャ人にも信じるすべての人にとって救いを得させる神の力です。と書いてます。でも、パウロは最初にこれからいろいろな福音の側面を説明しますけど、一番最初は、私は福音の恥と思いませんと書いてます。なんで私たちは福音の恥と思うでしょう。なんで神様を恥ずかしいと思うでしょう。なんで救いを恥ずかしいこととして思うことがあり得る。イエス様が私たちを救ったことをなんで恥ずかしいと思うでしょう。なんで神様が私たちに永遠の命を与えることを恥ずかしいと思う。なんで福音は恥ずかしいでしょう。しかし、正直に全てのクリスチャンもこういう問題もあります。その誘惑があります。人の前で自分がクリスチャンとか自分が天国を信じる、求めている、神様に祈っている、福音の基本を人生の中で貴重にしている。なんでそれは恥ずかしいと思うでしょうか？ありえないことですけど、でも実は私たちはみんな、こういう問題はあります。で、聖書は、これに関しても教えてますので、今日はそれを見ましょう。最初は、ヨハネ12章12節と10あすみませんヨハネ12章 42節と43節を読みます。しかしそれにもかかわらず、指導者たちの中にもイエスを信じる者がたくさんいた。ただパリサイ人たちを恥ずか、あ、をはばがって、告白はしなかった。街道から、追放、されないためであった。彼は、彼らは神からの栄誉よりも人の栄誉を愛したからである。じゃあ、一番、まあ、基本のことですけど、なんで人は、クリスチャンは、福音を恥ずかしいと思うというのは、やっぱり、人からの栄誉を大事にするから。神様からの栄誉を、まあ、小さなことを思っている。ということです。神の思っていることよりも、人の思っていることを恐れる。神様の力よりも人の力を感じる。なんででしょう。まあ、間近にあるから。彼らは私たちの周りにいて、彼らの声はすぐ聞く。彼らの動きをすぐ見る。彼らの顔と表情を見て、私たちは安定か、それか不安を得る。それから。周りの人たちが私たちを認めるかどうか気にする。彼らは私たちに、良いことを、言葉を話してくれたら私たちは安心するけど、彼らは私たちに対して悪い言葉を言ったら、悩む。心に悩みがある。しかし、問題は、それは全部神様に対して、やるべきこと。神様の、に、目を、見つめる、ことが、ふさわしい。毎日神様の声を聞こうとして、そして彼が私たちに関して言っていることを聞こうとするべき、とすべきです。私たちは逆に神様、が私たちを認めてくれていることを貴重にしなければならない。人が私たちを認めているかどうかは全く関係ない。もう重要ではない。神様は何を考えているか。2000年前にイエス様は私たちのためにもう全てを捧げて亡くなりました。そして私たちのために救い、永遠の命を確保しました。それは私たちの人生を生まれた時から死ぬまでの全ての罪を知った上でなさった。神様は私たちを本当に認めています。受け入れています。愛しています。なのに、私たちはなんで人のことを考えすぎるでしょう。それは神様の方に見てないから。それは問題ですね。どうでしょう？起きたら、私たちは何をするでしょう？メールを見る？それかニュースを見る？それか、メッセージを見る？それか、家族に会って、彼らの最初の言葉を聞く？それか、神様に祈って、今日のことを祈るでしょう？もし、一番最初に神様の方に祈って、じゃあ今日はどんなことがあるかわからないけど、まず神様に愛されている、認められていることを確認して、そして、すべて今日なることは神様の計画通りに行くことを、祈って、そして、まあ、悪く言われても、愛を持って返すことができるようにとか祈るとか、そういうふうに神様の方に見て、神様から力を得ようとすれば、やっぱり福音は恥ずかしいと思わない。福音は全てになります。何よりも、もう本当に福音比べることはない。 福音はすべてです。神様は私たちを救った。今、神様のために生きている何よりも貴重な人生を今日も送ります。神の力によって、神の御心を起こして、もたらして。でも、もしすぐにこの世のように、関心を、向けてしまうと、やっぱり福音は恥ずかしいと思うことになります。人の心、私たちの心は即知らぬ穴と言われています、ね、そこからすべての悪が出てきます。嘘、憎しみ、妬み、そういうものは全部怒りが心から出てきます。私たちはそれをしっかり止めなければならない。で、その一つはありえないことですけど、福音を恥ずかしいと思うことので、私たちは自分の心を守らなければならない。神様の方に目を見て。まあ、詩編の71:15-16はこう書いてます。私の口は一日中、あなたの義とあなたの救いを語り続けましょう。私はその全部を知っておりませんが、神なる主よ、私はあなたの滞納の技と携えていき、あなたの義をただあなただけの心に留めましょう。はい。もうすべて神様に向かって生活をしているわけです。Okay, alright, so let's go to then the second point. The first point, why are we ashamed of the gospel? Because we don't focus upon God. We don't think about God. We don't draw from God's strength. We don't listen to God. We're doing all those things to the world. It should be the opposite. In the morning, we should wake up and pray, God, let your will be done in my life today. God, you've accepted me today. No matter what happens, you've accepted me. No matter what I do, I know I have peace in you. I know that your will is going to come to pass, no matter what happens. And so we can establish ourselves in God each morning. But if we don't do that, then that embarrassment, that shame and feeling ashamed of the gospel is one of those hellish things that's going to come up during the day. So we have to keep it down. All right, let's look at another reason people want to... why people feel ashamed. In 1 Peter 4, verse 16, let's look at that. 1 Peter 4, 16. 1 Peter 4, 16 says, however, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Alright, so what this is saying is, we can be embarrassed of the gospel because it necessarily involves suffering. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Why? Because God allows the suffering in our life to do all of the things that it's designed to do. Remember, it was God who kicked Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. It was God who cursed the world and said, from now on there's going to be thorns and thistles and you're going to have pain and you're going to harvest with the sweat of your brow. The earth is not going to produce fruitfully like it did before. You're going to work and it's going to be hard and women are going to have pain in childbirth. It was God who did that. God allowed those things. Why? Because he had a good purpose in it. All of those things are to teach us spiritual lessons that that we need to learn before we enter eternity. And so this is the kindergarten of eternal life. And the millennium is probably the elementary school. And when we finally get to eternity, we'll probably begin as junior high school students, something like that. We're going to learn forever, but now we're just learning the really basic things. And the basic things, God is using suffering as part of that. Not only suffering, he uses many things. Suffering is just some of it. Okay. By the way, in that time when he kicked Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden, they still lived 900 years. They still had a beautiful, wonderful world, far beyond what we can imagine to live in. So when I say those things, it wasn't like God just took every single good thing out of their life. He still gave them innumerable good things. As this guy says, in our generation, God's goodness is just uncountable, all the great things that God does for us. You couldn't count them all. But nevertheless, suffering is one of the things God uses. He uses us. He uses it to keep ourselves humble. He uses it to teach us. He uses it for us to be patient. Sometimes when we get into trouble, we realize that when we looked at other people and said they shouldn't do that, now we find ourselves doing the same thing. We learn about hypocrisy. We learn about sin. We learn all how to overcome these things. But, of course, the people in the world, they never experience the same amount of suffering as what we do, it seems, anyway. Sometimes there are people who do, but often you'll find that the Christian is the one who seems to, all the bad things happen to me. The guys in the world, they never have this trouble, they never have that trouble. Why is it me that gets it? And then you go to the church, and people who are not faithful in their Christianity, they don't have all the troubles that the ones who are faithful do. And so that's often the way that it is. And Peter is saying here, don't be ashamed if you suffer according to God's will. It's going to happen. Understand it. It's from God. Don't worry about it. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't look to people and they say, oh, you Christians, you'll never learn, will you? Can't you see that, you know, all you've got to do is just leave that silly life and then get on in the world and you won't have all these troubles with money and you won't have these worries on your heart about your conscience and things like that. The world continually mocks us and says, you burden yourself with worrying about this and that. I remember one of my friends when I was in high school and I brought him to church and he heard the gospel, he went home and he told his mother and his mother said, if you were worried about sin like that, you'd go crazy. You'll go crazy if you're worried about, you know, what's right and what's wrong. That's the way the world thinks. They don't see suffering as important. And so if you're worried about what people think of you, well, then you're going to be ashamed of the gospel. Let's understand from now, Christians suffer. That's part of our life. Christians have to get embarrassed. That's part of our life. Christians are going to fall on their face because they weren't listening to God sometimes. And sometimes they'll fall on their face, even though they were listening to God, but like Job, for example. But God is going to use that for a purpose. In every case in the Bible, when you see suffering of Christians, there's always a reason. There's always a good outcome for it. We don't have to be ashamed. In fact, we must not be ashamed at our suffering. And don't look at other people and say, don't feel ashamed about other people's suffering either. Look at 2 Timothy with me. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 16. He said, may the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was found in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. So here was a Christian who was not ashamed of Paul, the prisoner. He wasn't ashamed that the greatest leader of their new religion was in prison. How would you feel if you went to a new club or a new group and the great leader was, you know, down in the prison? Accused of causing division all around in the world and causing trouble and riots and all of that sort of stuff. You might be ashamed. What's this religion you're in? Who's in charge? Who's the great teacher? Oh, he's in prison at the moment. charged with causing riots and lying and stirring up trouble all throughout the world. That would be embarrassing. But Onesiphorus was not embarrassed because he knew that it wasn't true. And secondly, he knew that this was God's way, that God was going to work through Paul. Again, Paul was the most wonderful mind in the world. He had all of the knowledge and training and academic ability that anyone could have had in the world. But God wanted to use him, but he wanted to use him in his chains. That was the way God wanted to use Paul. So Onesiphorus was wise enough to say, if that's the way God has chosen it, then that's the way I'm going to support. And so he wasn't ashamed. And we shouldn't be ashamed. We shouldn't be ashamed either. Verse 12 in the same chapter says, "This is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know him whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day." I'm not ashamed. You think about Paul's friends. I mean, let's put Paul into today's society. Here he is, a guy who graduated from, you know, Oxford University or Cambridge University. He was top of his business class. He was the best. He had all the connections and all of that kind of thing. And yet, where is he now? He's in prison, accused of causing trouble throughout the world. All of his friends are running companies. All of his friends are, you know, high-flying executives. And Paul, he's poor, can't afford even clothes, and he's in chains. But Paul says, "I'm not ashamed because I know whom I've believed. I've believed in God. God has called me. God has given me a job, and I've done it faithfully. And this is the situation that I'm in, but I know that he's able to guard all that I've entrusted to him until that day." Paul knew that his investment in the kingdom of God was so valuable, was worth so much money, like if you put it in our terms, that it was far beyond what his friends could have. And so he knew that, and he thought about it, he considered it. When he thought that he was missing out on praise, he realized he had the praise of God. When he thought he was missing out on having luxury and comfort like his Jewish brothers would have been at the time, he would consider the eternal comfort and reward that he was going to be given. He knows that God is faithful and God will take care of all of sin. So it is with you. How do you not feel ashamed? I mean, every one of us, when we chose to be a Christian, in some aspect, we've chosen a life of poverty. I had to give up two careers, in a sense, for ministry. The first one was being a school teacher. The second one was being a company employee. Both of them would have potentially been a lot more prosperous than what I have now, potentially. Except for the second one, where the business went bankrupt after I left the company. but at the time when I was there, you know, they were asking me to become a manager and that kind of thing. That means nothing to us, because whatever we do, when we choose to follow God, we're choosing a life of investment. We're investing in the kingdom, and God is absolutely going to repay us for everything. He sees everything. He sees every decision that you make. And he's happy, he's pleased, and he's going to give a great reward. You just have to keep reminding yourself of that. And when you stand before people, you can proudly tell of what God has done for us. And you can proudly talk about his ways. And suffering and poverty and being poor in spirit and things like that, that's part of God's ways. It's part of the wonderful creation that he's given to us. And so we don't have to be ashamed about it. Okay, じゃあ、second point. 二つ目、私たちはなぜ、福音を恥ずかしいと思うこと。それは、第一、ペトロの四章。第一、ペトロ四章十六節に書かれています。第一、ペトロ十四章十六節。 まあ、あの、14から始めようか。So, do you want to read it? From 14 until the end? 14 until the end. 第1ペトロ4章、14節から始める。
もしキリストの名のために非難を受けるなら、あなた方は幸いです。なぜなら栄光の御霊、すなわち神の御霊があなた方の上に留まってくださるからです。あなた方のうちに誰でも、人殺し、盗人、悪を行う者、みだりに他人に干渉する者として苦しみを受けるようなことがあってはなりません。しかし、キリスト者として苦しみを受けるのなら、恥じることはありません。かえってこの名のゆえに、神をあがめなさい。
ありがとうございます。あの、ここで私たちは神様のために苦しみを受けることになります。クリスチャンは、それはもう決まっている。クリスチャンは苦しみを受けるものです。なんででしょう？まあ、最初からそうだった。あの、アダムとエヴァは一旦罪を犯したら、そして次に神様の恵みによって、川に追われたんでしょう。着せられたでしょう。それは私たちはまあ、救われていると同じように認められています。イエスの川は、その神、動物の川は、イエス様を表しています。神様はそのためにアダムとエヴァを認めました。義として認めました。イエス様のため。だけど、もしね、カインみたいにもう出て行きなさいということではなくて、その日からアダムとエヴァともう交わりを持っていたでしょう。あの、アベルとか話していたでしょう。カインまで話していたでしょう、普通に。あの、罪を犯した時でも、カイン、あの、もう、あの、あなたは、その、罪に、回復、あの、乗り越えなければならない。なんか、あの、服従しなければならない。しかし、あの、神様はカインまで励ましました。だから、一方は、あの、彼らを認めていたけど、でも片方はエデンの園から追い出しました。そして、あの、これから、頑張って、あの、作業するけど、でも、茨と、あの、まあ、トゲしか出てこない。あの、これから汗をかけて、あの、働いても収穫が、あの、あんまり出てこない。これから子供を産むときに痛みを持って子供を産む。ませる。これから、あの、まあ、人は、あの、塵に戻ります。あの、ということ。神様は、あらゆる苦しみを、体の世界に入れたのは、教えるためでした。教えるためでした。まあ、幼稚園みたい。その時代は、幼稚園。今、私たちも、まるで幼稚園にいます。本当に基本のことしか、あの、理解できない。千年王国になると、それは多分小学生ぐらいになると思います。で、本当に永遠に入ったら、まあ中学生みたいに入るでしょう。それからどんどん学んで、いつまでも、あの、神様の道、神様の考え、神様の価値を、あの、学び続けると思います。しかし、あの、そういう制限が、まあ幼稚園には制限が一番きついでしょう。あの、だから苦しみもそのためにようにあります。私たちを教えるため。ただ、恥ずかしいと思うのは、クリスチャンは他の人よりも苦しみを受けることが多い。なぜかというと、私たちは神様の子供。で、親は自分の子供しかしつけしない。他の人の子供をしつけしてはならない。自分の子供をしつけする。他の人の子供は、ね、責任はないから。彼らは自然な苦しみを受けるものですけど、でも神様はもう特定の苦しみを私たちの方に、あの、回します。それは、あの、例えば自分が恥ずかしいことをして、あの、謙遜、あの、まあ、謙遜を得るために恥ずかしめに、あの、合わせる。そして、ああ、なるほど、私は今まで全然できると思ったけど、本当はできない。じゃあ、神様に頼らなければならない。それか、他の人を裁く、他の人より私は偉いと思う人には、その周りの人と同じ罪を犯してしまうかもしれない。 彼らの目の前に犯してしまうかもしれない。そしてやっぱり自分が他の人より偉くないということを学ぶでしょう。神様はもうその前と後、前後に別に私たちに対する態度は何も変わってない。何も変わってない。私たちは神様の子供だから。罪を犯す前、罪を犯す後は全然変わってない。ただ学んでほしいということです。賢くなってほしいと思うことです。罪を犯してから賢くなれば、じゃあ神様はそれを許します。まあ、ためにはそれは私たちのせいじゃない時にも苦しみを受ける。それも忍耐とかあるいる聖霊の実を鳴らすために与えられていますので、恥ずかしいと思ってはならない。恥ずかしいことではない。第2テモテ一章、見てください。第2テモテ一章16節、第2テモテ書16節を見るとこう書いています。オネシポロの家族を主が憐れんでくださるように、彼らはたびたび私を元気づけてくれる。また私が鎖につながってつながれていることを恥とも思わず、はい、ローマに着いた時には熱心に私を探して見つけ出してくれたのです。このオノシポロという人はパオルの鎖を恥と思わなかった。例えば私はまあ、新しい教会に入って、で友達、ああすごいいい教会に行ってますよ、そうなん、その牧師は、あ今彼はちょっと刑務所に入っている、世界中でいろんな問題を犯したり暴力をに訴えられたり、もうトラブルメーカーとして知られている人だから、みんなはどう思うでしょう。えそういう教会いいのかと思うでしょう。まあ同じように、オネシプロは、パオロは、ローマ、もう本当に動物に食べさせられるぐらいの、ものとして扱われました、ローマでは。なのに、オネシプロは、パオロを探して、そして全然、その鎖と、を恥ずかしいと思わなかった。でも、私たちはどうでしょう。私たちは、人を認める、でしょ。もう本当に大変罪深い人でも、その人が信じる。もう、あるいは罪悩んでいるけど、でも、神様を信じて、助けてって祈っている人には、仲間として恥ずかしいでしょうか。それか、喜んで、その人、罪深い人でも、神様に愛されている。そして、熱心に仲間とするか。私たちは恥ずかしいと思ってはならない。自分も同じだから。恥ずかしいと思ったら自分も同じ罪を犯して同じようになるかもしれない。だけど、全然恥ずかしいと思ってなかった。同じ章の12節、そのために私はこのような苦しみにも、あっています。しかし、私はそれを恥とは思っていません。というのは、私は自分の信じてきた方をよく知っており、またその方は私のお任せしたものを、かの日のために守ってくださることが、できると信じているからです。パウロは、まあ、例えばね、パウロは、現代に住んでいたら、すごい、大学卒業して、すごいキャリアを持っているでしょう。教授として。友達はみんな、もう偉い学校の校長になっているかもしれない。給料高い、名誉の多い立場にいるかもしれない。パウロは逆に鎖に縛られて、本当に汚い牢の中にいる。どうでしょう。パウロは、 あの自分が損と思っていたでしょうか。全然そうではない。なぜかというと、彼はなんと神様に勤めている。なんとか大学じゃなくて神様に勤めている。天国のために働いていた。天国に派遣されていた。天国の指示通りに従って成功している。彼の状態は人に見られるじゃなくて、もう万物、天の万物に見られていることです。そして神様の誉れをいただいている。そして神様の報いが蓄えていることを彼は希望しています。それは恥ずかしいでしょうか。そんなことない。全然そんなことない。逆に彼は喜んでいたでしょう。私たちはただ現実を考えてみると喜ぶでしょう。全然神様の救い、神様の手による恥ずかしめとか、恥ずかしめじゃなくて苦しみを恥と思わない。それは病気であろうか、自分の罪であろうか、人の前で評判が落ちたであろうか、そういうこと何でも神様から出てきたものなら平気。なぜなら神様は私たちを愛してるから、それを許している。それを用いて私たちを隠し隠する、用いるようになるためです。はい。だから今日はここで終わります。いろいろな理由ありますけど、また別の時に考えましょう。それか自分で探しましょう。新約聖書に人が福音を恥ずかしいと思う理由いっぱい述べていますけど、しかしパウルは、私は福音の恥と思いません。まず朝、毎日、自分の一日を神様に任せてください。人、すぐにね、起きたら、LINE とかを見るでしょう。Facebook を見るでしょう。携帯持ってない人はそうではないかもしれないけど、ニュースを見るでしょう。ラジオを聞くでしょう。それよりも、まずは、神様の計画を祈りましょう。まず、自分が認められていることを喜びましょう。まずは自分の一日の計画は、いいことでも悪いこと全部感謝する。何が来るか分からないけど、絶対神様は私に必要なことを与えてくださるから、感謝して一日を喜んで始めようか。それで今日は神様の御業を述べ伝える一日としましょうと思って、福音も恥ではない。そして自分の苦しみをもうチリぐらいと思ってください。神様の報いは全てです。はい。 OK, so that's the end for this section. There's a lot of reasons in the New Testament why people were ashamed of the gospel, and we don't have time to go through all of them. You can seeVarious ones. Peter was ashamed in one place because of being associated with a criminal. Another time he was ashamed of the freedom of the Gentiles, that they didn't have to keep the law. Amazing, isn't it? One time he's afraid of someone who didn't keep the law. And then, on the other hand, he's afraid of the religious people. Peter was afraid of two things. And then we see the same...thing with others in the gospel. They loved the world, so they were ashamed. Or there were people who were ashamed of suffering. Or we might be ashamed of the message of sin and ashamed of their failure, for example. There's many reasons. But we've looked at two today. The first one we looked at was people are ashamed of the gospel because they don't consider all day long the wonderful truth of God.They don't consider how good and big and powerful and wise God is, and that everything that happens in this world is part of God's plan, and that we have been chosen amongst all people to be His children, and we're completely accepted before Him, and He's given us eternal life and sent us out with this wonderful message. if we consider that, we wouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. On the other hand, if we ignore those things and look around us and say, oh, I wish I was like other people. I wish I was like them. I wish I had their level of lifestyle or something. Then we're going to be ashamed because we're not going to have that. It's not for us to have. And secondly, because if we don't see suffering as also part of God's plan, then we might be ashamed of the gospel because people will say, oh, why are you suffering? You're supposed to be God's child. See, God doesn't look after his own people, or your faith is not really worth anything because they don't understand God's truth. But if we continually remind ourselves of God's truth and know that everything that happens to us, whether good or bad, is God's grace to us, then we don't have to be ashamed of it. On the other hand, we can be proud of God for helping us in all these ways. So let's keep that these things in heart. Let's not be ashamed of the gospel. Let's be proud of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Let's believe it, and let's let that power help us along in our salvation. Let's pray. Tenatasama kansha shimasu. Hontou ni kono fukuin wa anata no sukui no chikara inarimasu. Arigatou gozaimasu. Dou ka kame sama, kore kara hito no you ni dewa nakute, hontou ni kame sama no you ni nareru you ni tasukete kudasai. Soshite watashi tachi no me wo tsune ni kame sama ni makatte, watashi tachi no mimi wo kame sama ni makatte, watashi tachi no atama wo kame sama no shinjutsu ni mukeru you ni tasukete kudasai. Anata wa suburashi. Anata wa kashikoi. Anata wa chiebukai. Nandemo shiteru. Soshite donna koto demo dekiru. Nani yori mo watashi tachi to kono ningen, jinrui wo sukuitai to omotte oraremasu. Kansha shimasu. Douka watashi tachi wo mochiite kudasai. Fukui no tame ni mochiite kudasai. Hito no mae de daitan ni yorokonde katareru you ni tasukete kudasai. イエスの皆によって祈ります。アメン。はい。